Okay. Well, God bless you. Please be seated. As Todd mentioned, we're going to get into the subject of deliverance, God's deliverance. And if we're going to go to God's deliverance, we're going to need to know how to receive, right, from God. And we better have our information straight and accurate. And that's why we're concerned about the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. So that's what we're going to get into. But before we start, I've asked Trina to sing a song for us that I think will be a blessing to before I teach God's Word and share this great subject of God's deliverance. So welcome, Trina. Ruta, please.
I'm going to read a little bit. I hope I don't use any of your scriptures, but if I do, too bad. Just kidding. this song I got a couple weeks ago. It's my Katie song. And before I start this, I'm so blessed to sing today because it's Craig's birthday. And so I'm very blessed for that. Me and Katie were just talking about how, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in situations. We had a great fellowship one night and how God delivers us out of those situations. And you can totally see yourself, how you change. And you see yourself totally different, like brand new. It's like, we were talking, we're like, wow, 6 months ago, with the conversations we were having and the problems we were having are all gone now. Because God has completely delivered us and healed us. And so out of that, I wrote this song. But I'm going to go ahead and share out of Psalms 107. This psalm is all about God delivering people over and over, the children of Israel, different people. I'm going to read the first three verses, and then I'll skip down to the one that I want to do. But this says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from east and from the west and from the north and from the south." And I'm going to skip down to verse 17. "Some fools, through their sinful ways and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy." And that's, I love that scripture because a lot of the times when growing up in the Word, I knew the right thing to do. But did I do it? No. Just because, you know, our heart wanders, you know. Sometimes we don't feel like doing it, especially when you're young. You want to try things, you know. And a couple years ago, I did that. And when I first moved here, I was reaping the consequences of that, of those bad decisions. And they were my fault, you know. But God, in his mercy, he's so gracious. These fools, I was being foolish, and God still delivers you. And he doesn't hold it against you. And that's just so awesome. And it's so funny, the difference between being delivered and trying to fix yourself, you know, because God, when he delivers you, he takes what's broken and makes it brand new. But all the best we can do is try to repair it. And it doesn't work. And so this song is about that. And just let it remind you of how magnificent and wonderful God is in his mercy and his grace. I come to you, Father, in awe of your grace. Forsaking all others, I only want to see your face. I long to be with you, morning, night, and day. Your great love has caused my heart to say, Lord, I worship you for all that you are. I lift my heart to you. You've brought me so far from where I used to be. How I love to sing your praise. Oh, no words can explain. You are my everything. With all of my heart, and deepest gratitude. You are my hero. Oh, you made my heart brand new. I'll give my thanks to you morning, night, and day. Your great love has caused my heart to say, Lord, I worship you for all that you are. I lift my heart to you. You've brought me so far from where I used to be. How I love to sing your praise. Oh, no words can explain. You are my everything. And when I ponder on your goodness and your awesome majesty, oh, it takes me higher above this world. It gives me wings. And I forgot the words. Sorry. And I'll set my thoughts on you morning, night, and day. Your great love has caused my heart to say, Lord, I worship you for all that you are. I lift my heart to you. You brought me so far from where I used to be. How I love to sing your praise. Oh, no words can explain. You are my everything. And after all of time, it still amazes me how you fill this broken vessel with living water overflowing. And I'll pour it out for you morning, night, and day. Your great love has caused my heart to say, Lord, I worship you for all that you are. I lift my heart to you. You brought me so far from where I used to be. How I love to sing your praise. Oh, no words can explain. You are my everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Trina. God is so wonderful and so great. And as you get into the integrity of His Word, you'll see that. And what's even better after you see it is to believe it and walk out and manifest it in your life. The title of my sharing is An Answer of Deliverance. You and I, as sons of God, born from above, saved, filled with the gift of Holy Spirit, can always go to the Heavenly Father and get an answer of deliverance. You are His kids. If you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you're in His family. He is our Heavenly Father. And if you have something that you need, like trying to get the car keys out of the automobile, you can go to Him, and He always has an answer of deliverance. You know, when we're attacked by the adversary or we have problems that come up, God Almighty always invites us into His throne room so that we can bear our heart so that He can bring an answer of deliverance to us. You know, there's no problem, no situation, no circumstances that are too big or too small that God cannot handle. And as it says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, He will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Why don't you go to Galatians chapter 1, if you would, please. As we learned not too long ago in the seminar, Our Surpassing Victory, The Armor of God, where we worked Ephesians chapter 6, we learned that we could be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. It's a spiritual fight, so we put on that whole armor of God and stand. God is in us. God in Christ in you. We can have a lifestyle of doing God's will and being blessed along the way. And when problems arise, we can go to the Father knowing that He has an answer of deliverance. In Galatians chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 3 here. It says, "Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world?" Jesus Christ did this for us. And part of the accomplishments that He brought to us is that He delivered us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So that's our God. That's verse 4 there. And that's what He has done. He has delivered us from this evil world that we live in. Go to Colossians chapter 1, if you would, please. Colossians. To experience God's deliverance in our life, we must realize that we have already manifested the greatest deliverance a man or woman could ever experience. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you have experienced the greatest deliverance a man or a woman could ever have. And part of that we read in Galatians there, that we've been delivered from this present evil world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." What a wonderful prayer to desire that the believers would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." When we are born again of God's Spirit, we have been rescued. The word delivered means rescued out from the power of darkness. And we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness or the remission of sins. Now, you and I have the great privilege to be sons of God. And the great deliverance that has taken place spiritually, whereby we are God's, we're His possession forever and ever, is a pretty good deliverance from eternal death to eternal life. Can't beat that deliverance. But what about day to day now? What about as we live in this present evil world? We've been delivered from it, but boy, oh boy, it's still around us, isn't it? You know, we're still in it. And we still need to deal with life situations and things that come our way. In light of going to God and getting His deliverance, two important considerations that we need to understand. in light of his deliverance. Number one, what's your attitude? You know, our attitude, our frame of mind toward God answering you and giving you the deliverance. Okay, if God delivers, what's our attitude toward God in light of receiving that, going to him and getting that deliverance? The other side that we need to consider is God's attitude. Well, what's his attitude in giving us deliverance, answering our prayers, giving you the answer of deliverance? What his frame of mind is. So we're going to look at a few verses to answer those two considerations. Let's go to Psalms chapter 27. God's attitude determines the availability of his deliverance for us. Our attitude determines our believing to receive his deliverance. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Boy, this should be our attitude. This should be our attitude. God makes available his wonderful deliverance in our life. Then, boy, we should have this kind of thinking. I desired of the Lord, that will I seek of, that I may dwell in his house. Well, you're his kids. And we belong in the house where God is. And this is certainly an attitude we want to have to receive from our Heavenly Father. Let's read verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Answer me. Boy, this is the kind of attitude we should have to go when we have need of a deliverance, whatever it is. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So this is the kind of attitude. If something comes up and we go to God, we don't get it the next second, what do? We give up? No, we wait. We wait upon the Lord. That's a great attitude to have. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Boy, this is the kind of mindset that we want to have. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he delivered me, or he heard me, and delivered me from some of my fears. No, some of you guys are pretty sharp out there. Delivered us from how much of our fears? All of our fears. Does God lie in his word? Is God a man that he should lie? No. That's what's available. Delivered me from all my fears. There is no fear that you can have that God can't handle and work with you on. That's what the word says. We have that attitude of mind to praise him, to go to him with humility And we'll get an answer of deliverance in all of our fears, whatever they may be. Look what else that we can get deliverance from. Verse 17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth. Are you righteous? Hey, we might not feel righteous in the way we are and what's going on in our life, but God, when you're born again of His Spirit, He has put His righteousness in you. We have received the righteousness of God. So He sees us with spiritual eyes. God is spirit, and He sees us spiritually. Hey, look out here. We've got wonderful sons and daughters of God, born again of God's Spirit. You know, He doesn't mess with the stuff that, you know, in the world and all the junk that goes on. God looks at us and sees the Christ within us. And He responds to those who are humble and meek to go to Him. Well, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their what? All their troubles. Not some of them. All of them. All of the troubles that person may have. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. All of those afflictions God will deliver. So this is God's attitude. This is what He will do. Pretty neat. Look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103. We've got a great, big, wonderful God. And man, oh man, His attitude toward us is that He wants to deliver us from all troubles, all afflictions, all fears. Man, we need to have the humbleness of mind to ask, to go to Him. 103 Psalms. This is a beautiful section in God's Word. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth how much of their iniquities? All thine iniquities. Who healeth how many of their diseases? Healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. This is His attitude. This is His heart. This is how He is. He's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Praise the Lord. He does not deal with us after our sins. A lot of people have sin consciousness, right? They know what they've done, and if they know it, they know God knows it too. And they're a little concerned about this. But God does not deal with us in these kind of things. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He deals with us as a son of God with the righteousness of God within. What a great relationship we have with Him. And what a great attitude He has toward us. Okay, where are we here? Verse 11, coming up here. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And the word fear in the Old English means reverence. Reverence. How high is the heavens? You keep going and going and going. Okay, that's how He is. That's how much His mercy is toward them that reverence Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. It's pretty far, isn't it? Like a father pitieth his children. And the word pitieth there in the Hebrew is to love his children. As a father loves his children, so the Lord loves them that reverence Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knows it. We know it. But we don't deal with that side. We deal of our life. We deal with who we are in Christ. And that's how He deals with us. He remembereth that we are dust. For as man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that reverence them. Wow! Don't we have a great, big, wonderful God? Everlasting mercy, undeserved favor, and he just has that big time for us. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excelleth in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's what we want to do. Let's go to Psalm 103, please. Oh, that's where we're at. We already finished that. Let's go all the way over to 1 Peter. Thanks. I'm glad somebody's sharp there. All right. So good we should read it again, huh? Psalm 103. So 1 Peter 5. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, we want to be humble as we go to God. Be sober, or I'm sorry, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him. How much of your care can you call? All his care. All your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 10. 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. He's sharing with the believers, look, you know my life. You know what I've been teaching you. You know my manner of life, my purpose, my believing, my long-suffering, my patience, my love, the persecutions, the afflictions that I'm going through, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord did what? He delivered them. You know, God doesn't promise that you're going to have problems, you know, that he's going to put a wall around you, a bubble, and that you won't have any problems or anything like that. We still live in an evil world. We're going to have a lot of things to deal with, a lot of stuff hitting us, a lot of opportunities, a lot of negative stuff, and yet we have a God, a Father, who we can go to. We can walk into his throne room, and he will gladly, with his great mercy, with his great forgiveness, give us an answer of deliverance. God delivered him from them all. I'd like for you to go to Acts chapter 12, and we're going to look at a little story here about Peter. Peter was quite a character in light of who he was before he got born again and who he was after he got born again. And he stood for God, and he did some wonderful things. Here in chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And I believe that's James, one of the apostles, one of the 12. was killed. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So, hey, Jews love this. He wants to stay politically in tune with the times and have the Jews favored. Took Peter. And what did he do with Peter? He put him in prison. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants. Now, this kind of deliverance is not good. To be delivered to four quadrants of soldiers and put into the inner prison. How many is four quadrants of soldiers to keep him? 16, right. Usually what they would do, in this case, they have four watches. I know a number of you folks in the military here, you stand watches. I don't know how long it is, 6 hours, 8 hours. They basically did 4 6-hours. What is that? 4 times 6, 24. So there'd be four shifts. So there would be four with him at all time during these four shifts. Peter to skip out on this, right? He wanted to make sure Peter wouldn't get out of prison. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer, I'm verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church or by the church unto God for him. So what did the church do? They prayed. They prayed for God to deliver him, to get him out of that situation, and pretty dire situation. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So here, these soldiers chained side by side with these two soldiers. Not going to go anywhere. There's keepers before the door kept in the prison. Now, Peter had been in prison before. Not that he was a convict or anything, but he stood for God. In chapter 4, you read in Acts that he did a wonderful deliverance for the man, the lame man at the Gate Beautiful, remember? And he, leaping and praising God, got great deliverance, got healed, excited. But what did they do? They grabbed him, put him in jail, just in hold, the regular jail there. And the next day, they talked to him. And they talked to the apostles, and they let him go. Then in chapter 5, you read of a situation. And let's go there. I want you to see this. Because this is the third time Peter is in prison. In chapter 5 is the second time that it at least is recorded in the Word. Chapter 5, verse 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Man, they were believing big time. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many? Everyone. Man, wouldn't it be exciting to see those days come to pass? I think it's available. I really think it's available that when people get a hold of the greatness of God's Word, start believing it, walking out on it, we can see great signs, wonders, and miracles. Great healings, great deliverances. Well, they sure did this in Acts, didn't they? Well, verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up and all they that were with them, and they were filled with indignation, it says. Verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, here, this angel comes and gets them out of prison. There was nobody else that could do it or would do it. But God delivered them by bringing an angel to open the prison doors and get them out there. And what did the angel say? Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's what got him in trouble in the first place. But with God's deliverance, they could boldly speak God's word. Well, as time went on, they did. They continued to do so. And yet here, we in chapter 12, back to chapter 12, here Peter is back in prison. He's got these soldiers bound on either side of him. And let's see what happens. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. My God, here's this angel. He's sleeping. Would you be asleep bound with two guys? I don't think so, but he was. Maybe he had confidence that, I'm going to get delivered. God's going to get me out of here some way, regardless of the situation. Pretty dire situation. So this angel knocks him in the side, okay? And let's see what else happens here. Pretty interesting. The chains fall off, right? Let's see. And smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. It's like, hey, am I dreaming this? Is this really going on? And what about the other soldiers? He had two chained to him. There were soldiers without. I don't know what they were doing. They were asleep too, I guess. And these other two must have really been asleep to be able to change drop and everything else. Well, Peter's on his way out of the jail there, and he's not sure what's going on. He's still a little groggy, I guess. When they were past the first and the second ward, boy, they put him in the inner prison there, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Wow. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. You know, I wonder if this was the same angel that got those guys out that other time, chapter 5. I could just see this angel now, Well, golly, here's Peter in prison again. Going to have to get him out. So, and he's fast asleep, so I got to poke him in the side here. So, Peter, verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath what? Delivered me out of the hand of Herod. No matter what the situation, the conditions, doesn't matter. If God needs to send an angel, he's going to send an angel. Jesus Christ could have called some angels to help him. How many could have he called? A whole bunch. I think it's like 72,000 or something like that. Whole bunch. Anyway, but here one did the job. So, delivered him out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is, I believe, the Mark that wrote Mark in the four Gospels, his mom. You know, this fellowship was a family affair. Kind of neat to see this. Where many were gathered together, what were they doing? Praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. You know, in those days, they did not have doorbells. It's not like they walked up and knocked on the door. Basically, they yelled out, hey, anybody home? This is Peter. Anybody in there? Well, somebody heard, somebody came, and when she knew Peter's voice, Peter yelled out, she recognized this voice, and she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Could you just see that? Here's the gate, and she, hey, is that Peter? That's Peter! And he runs off, and leaves them outside. Didn't even open the door for them. My goodness. And they said unto her, now she ran in and tell them, hey, Peter's outside. You know, they're in there praying, please, Lord, get Peter out of jail, please, Lord. And Rhoda comes in and says, hey, Peter's outside, he's out there. What did they say? They said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel or something. It can't be. They weren't believing too big, were they? But I tell you what, somebody was believing, be it Peter or others, to get him out of jail. They were doing the right thing, praying, but when you pray, you want to believe. You want to believe. Okay, and they said unto her, thou art mad. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. Hey, I'm still outside. Come and get me, please. So he's knocking away, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They just couldn't believe it. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. And this is James, the administrative leader of the church at that time. He was the brother of Christ, actually. And he said, hey, let them know these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Pretty amazing, isn't it? This great story of deliverance. You and I can learn from this. Not only this story, but many other stories in God's Word of how He delivered people left and right under all circumstances and conditions. So in conclusion, you know, we've seen a great example here of God's deliverance of Peter in prison. We have seen God's attitude, His attitude in bringing deliverance. And what is His attitude? Hey, He's into it. He really wants to deliver. He wants to so bad. And when He looks at us and He doesn't see the natural man, He sees the Christ in you. His mercy is so big, right? So His forgiveness is so from one end to the other, never to meet. If that's true, then you and I should have no hesitation to going to before your Father, our Father, and say, help. I need help on this, Father. Would you deliver me? Pretty neat. You know, we've seen the importance of our attitude, that we have expectation, that we know God loves us. He wants the best for us. We should have that meekness. God always has an answer of deliverance if we're believing and expecting it. God always has an answer of deliverance. No matter what's going on in your life and you need to be delivered from whatever, God always has the answer, and it's the right one. It's the best one. We know we have been delivered from this present evil world already. We know we belong in His kingdom. We are already there, seated in the heavenlies, Ephesians says. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. You know, we've already received the greatest deliverance man could ever have, and that is the new birth from death unto life, eternal life. We are the sons of God, right? All right, our Heavenly Father wants the best for us. He has brought us into His family to be with us forever, and we be with Him forever. His door is always open for us to come into the throne room of His grace and mercy at any time so that we can receive an answer of deliverance. So, Heavenly Father, we're very thankful for the reality of You being a delivering God, that we can have great expectations from You in whatever situation we might be dealing with, Father, that we can cast all our care to You because You care for us and want the very best. So we are very, very thankful, Father, that You are so loving and so kind and merciful. And we continue to thank You and praise You, Father. And we sure love You and are grateful for the days ahead that we have to look to You in all ways, to do Your business, Father, to hold forth Your word, to help others, and to hold forth the integrity and accuracy of Your word so that people will know You, the true God. So I pray for God's people this morning for a great week that we can have as sons and daughters of you, looking to you, knowing that you always have an answer of prayer to our prayers and an answer of deliverance in every situation. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right. That's it, brother.